This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
This is Total Information AM on 104.1 FM KMOX. I'm Megan Lynch. And this morning, we're going to dig deeper into this week's action by the U.S. Supreme Court on immigration policy. With me now, Brad Young, our KMOX legal analyst and partner at Harris, Dow, Fisher & Young. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning, Megan.
So the Supreme Court on Monday allowed the Trump administration to use that 18th century wartime law to deport Venezuelan migrants. But they said that there has to be a court hearing first. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, a couple of things here, Megan. First of all, this was kind of a splitting the baby type of a decision, because on one side of the issue, many of those who are supporting the blockage of this deportation of these Venezuelans or others to Venezuela or El Salvador were arguing that this 1798 law, the Aliens and Enemies Act, simply can't apply because of its age. And yet, you know, the Constitution was passed about 12 years before that. So just because something is old doesn't mean it's not enforceable. But here's what the court focused in on, and this is what I think is very interesting and applicable to so many different areas, is that the Trump administration was essentially taking these individuals and exporting them, because under this 1798 law, there is no requirement that they have a hearing or what we call due process. They could just be taken out and taken out of the country. And this law has only been invoked three times before: the War of 1812, World War I, and World War II. And so the president's argument is that this is an invasion, and therefore this law applies. The court didn't reach that issue because it had not yet progressed through the courts. But here's what the court said, which I think is very instructive, that even though this law passed in 1798 allows the president to remove individuals, that they still have the Fifth Amendment protection of due process. The Fifth Amendment says that the federal government, as it applies to the federal government, that no one shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. That means individuals cannot simply be removed from the country, even under this 1798 law, but they have to have the opportunity to go to court, to argue that their imprisonment is false, and to argue against their deportation, because that's what due process of law means.
What about the flights that have already happened? How does this apply to those?
Well, it doesn't apply to those because those flights had already taken off prior to this court ruling. But what this court ruling does do is that it requires the Trump administration to allow these prisoners or these folks who are being deported to have that due process under Texas, because that's where they're currently being housed, not Washington, D.C. But they do have that right to due process of law. And that's important here, because due process rights apply to anything that we're faced with. If the government is going to deprive us of life, liberty, or property, then we have to, as citizens, or even if someone is not a citizen, if they're just here in this country, everyone is entitled to due process of law.
And it sounds like this question of whether the Alien Enemies Act can be enacted without a wartime declaration from Congress is still hanging fire right now.
It is. And that's really the focal point, Megan. When this case goes through the court system, the question's going to be, number one, what does an invasion even mean? And number two, is that something that the president can unilaterally declare in the absence of a mandate from Congress? That all has to be worked out through the lower courts. So the only thing the Supreme Court issue that dealt with was whether or not the deportations could continue, and if so, under what circumstances.
The Missouri House has advanced a bill targeting anti-Semitism, but some opponents are raising some free speech concerns here with this, Brad. What would this legislation do?
Well, the actual bill that was passed the Senate, it would require Missouri's Department of Elementary and Secondary Education and even the Department of Higher Education to assign staff members to monitor anti-Semitic discrimination and harassment. And that's in quotes because that's exactly what the bill states. It also empowers schools, or rather the state, to investigate whether schools have a responsibility for these types of incidents that we saw after the October 7 Hamas attack against Israel. It also encourages schools to teach pieces of Jewish American heritage as a way to lessen this anti-Semitic behavior in schools.
So when it comes to selecting one form of discriminatory or potential hate speech in legislative action, is that tricky?
It is. It's a minefield, Megan. And let me tell you why. We can all agree on what hate speech is when someone gives us or issues a slur against someone's heritage, their ethnicity, and so forth. But hate speech is constitutional under our Constitution. In fact, it's been upheld multiple times in years past and in years recent. And this is the reason why. Because hate speech is subjective. What may be hate speech to one person may not be hate speech to another. And so it becomes problematic to ban hate speech under the First Amendment because you can't necessarily identify what it is. So what the court has held back in 1968 in Brandenburg versus Ohio, that hate speech is acceptable. However, when it moves into being not acceptable is when it's being done to incite specific acts of lawlessness or imminent lawless action, or it's likely to produce such action. So what does that mean? Then under the Constitution, it's okay, even though it's reprehensible, we don't like it, it's okay to use hate speech. However, if that hate speech is directed at imminent lawless action, then it can, in fact, be banned. So that's the problem with this bill, is that it would seemingly ban speech that would otherwise be permissible under the Constitution.
That is Brad Young, KMOX legal analyst, joining us this morning on KMOX. Thanks, Brad.
You're welcome.